Everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. You ever get that feeling like we're just bombarded with news, elections, market craziness, the latest tech, whatever it is, that it's just, I don't know, kind of hard to see the forest for the trees?
I know what you mean.
Like, what if all this stuff, all these things we think are huge EE, these pivotal moments, what if they're just ripples on the surface of something way, way bigger?
I like that.
That's exactly the question Charles Hugh Smith is tackling. And I got to say, talk about timely, right? In his brand new article, 2024, A Year of No Significance.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So Smith's argument is kind of like this. He's saying, look, we're so busy focusing on the who's who and the what's what, just the everyday stuff, that we might be totally missing this massive underlying shift.
Okay. I'm listening.
Like, what if, and this is a big one, what if it's not the players that are the problem, right? What if it's, hear me out, what if it's the entire game itself that's broken? The whole system.
All right, now that's a scary thought.
It's a bit unsettling, right? And to kind of drive this home, Smith, he takes us all the way back in time to a year that on the surface seems totally random, 1587. Smack dab in the middle of the Ming Dynasty.
The Ming Dynasty, huh?
Yeah, and I know what you're thinking, the Ming Dynasty, what's that got to do with us now? And that's exactly what we're going to unpack today. So help us out here. Set the scene. What was going on back then? And more importantly, why in the world should we care today?
All right. So picture this. It's 1587, the Ming Dynasty. This once mighty, and I mean mighty, empire. It's starting to show some cracks. We're talking power struggles at the top, economic woes, you name it. Pressure from all sides. Sound familiar?
It does, yeah.
And here's where this deep dive gets really interesting. The Ming Dynasty, they weren't taken down by some big dramatic event. No, this was a slow burn. This was about the systems, the very systems that held this empire together, just slowly decaying, crumbling from within.
So we're talking about the systems, right? The stuff we all rely on every single day. I'm talking healthcare, education, finance, the very structures that shape our choices, for better or worse. How did things get so off track in the Ming Dynasty? How'd they let it get so bad?
Well, there's this historian, Ray Huang, and he wrote this honestly fascinating book called 1587, A Year of No Significance. And his big argument, and this is a big one, is that the Ming system, the system itself, it just became so rigid, so resistant to change, that it was almost, I don't know how to say, destined to crumble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like imagine this giant, intricate machine, right? Gears turning, everything's moving, and it's been working this way for centuries. But over time, the gears, they get worn down, parts start breaking down, but instead of, like, you know, actually fixing the underlying problems, they just keep patching it up. Band-aids on top of band-aids.
So they're clinging to this outdated system, even though it's obviously not working. Man, that sounds eerily familiar.
Right. And that's exactly the parallel Charles Hugh Smith is drawing to us, to our situation now. Like, we might be facing the same thing right now, today. Our systems, political, economic, social, whatever, they've become so complex, so entrenched, that they just can't adapt. They can't keep up with the sheer scale of the problems.
So you're saying, what, we're headed for our own year of no significance, that it doesn't even matter who's in charge, what policies we come up with, we're just, what, locked into this decline. That's a pretty intense thought.
Intense, yeah. But also something we have to really look at. I mean, what was it that made the Ming Dynasty so resistant to change?
Yeah.
And the bigger question, are we seeing those same things happening in our own societies right now? And if so, what can we do about it?
Okay, so we're talking about systems on the brink, right? Civilizations clinging to the past while the world is changing all around them. But the question is why? Why is it so darn hard to just hit reset on these massive systems? Like, where do you even begin?
It's a great question, and it's not an easy answer.
Well, in his article, Smith, he uses this phrase, I think it's brilliant. He talks about everyone wanting their slice of the pie and how that makes any kind of real reform almost impossible.
Right, because you get this sense of, like, hey, I've got mine, don't touch it.
Exactly. It's like, nobody wants to risk losing what they've got, even if it means, you know, the whole pie is going stale.
And that's exactly what Huang observed in the Ming Dynasty, too. Remember those descriptions in his book about the bureaucracy, those layers upon layers of officials, each one with their own little fiefdom?
Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
Any change, even if it's desperately needed, even if it's obvious, it's going to create winners and losers.
Right.
And in a system, whether it's the Ming Dynasty or, let's be honest, our own system today, even the smallest tweak can have these massive ripple effects, and people They get scared, they dig in their heels, and suddenly, even the most obvious common sense reforms, they become these huge, impossible political battles.
Totally. It's like this fear of change just takes over.
Absolutely.
And that kind of brings me to, well, the present day. I mean, are we seeing this slice of the pie mentality happening right now all around us? I can think of a bunch of examples, but the one that always comes to mind is, well, the whole debate around Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everyone agrees, right? It's important. It's vital. But the moment you even hint at the idea of maybe possibly needing to adjust things, you know, to make it sustainable for the future, or kids or grandkids, people just freak out.
It's true. They act like the world is ending.
It's like this primal fear, you know, like, don't touch my slice of the pie, even if it means the whole system could just, I don't know, collapse.
It's a perfect example, really. And it's not just Social Security, right? I
mean, yeah.
Take climate change, for instance. We all know at this point we have to transition to cleaner energy sources.
Mm-hmm.
But the fossil fuel industry, I mean, talk about a massive slice of the pie. They have every incentive to keep things exactly as they are. And it's not even just them, right? Think about all the workers, the entire communities, whose livelihoods, whose lives are tied to these industries. Change is terrifying, especially when it feels like you might get left behind. It's that fear, that deep-seated human fear of the unknown, that makes it so darn hard to deal with these big, messy problems.
Yeah, that's the heart of it, isn't it? Fear of the unknown. So we've got these complex systems, everyone clinging to their piece of the pie, and a whole lot of fear standing in the way of actual progress. But if these systems are in decline, like we're talking about, shouldn't there be, I don't know, more obvious signs, bigger cracks? Shouldn't the alarms be going off by now?
Well, see, that's where the real danger lies. Decline, it's rarely this sudden dramatic collapse. It's more like a series of seemingly small crises, one after another, each one patched up with a temporary fix, creating this illusion that everything's fine, that the system is still strong, but underneath it all,
it's all just band-aids on a bullet wound.
Exactly. And what's really fascinating and a little bit terrifying is that this tendency, this human tendency to cling to outdated systems, to prioritize short-term stability over long-term solutions, it's a tale as old as time. It's the same trap the Ming Dynasty fell into, and it's a trap I think we risk falling into today.
So what do we do? How do we break free? It's like we're just stuck, right? Going through the motions. These systems break down. We patch them up, but we never really actually solve the problem. It's like, I don't know, we're so busy trying to keep the engine running, we forget to even check if we're going in the right direction.
It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, right?
Totally. But isn't there, like, a name for this? This whole cycle, this rise and fall, feels like something out of a history book, but maybe those history books are trying to tell us something.
Oh, absolutely. It's a repeating pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely a term for it, the S-curve.
Yeah.
Basically, it describes how systems, civilizations, they tend to follow this arc, right? They emerge, they grow really fast, they hit a peak, and then what goes up must come down. Decline is inevitable.
The S-curve, huh? Okay, so connect the dots for me.
So what Smith's getting at, and what we saw happen with the Ming Dynasty, is that we, and I mean all of us, globally, we might be on the downslope of that S-curve right now. We're clinging to these old structures, systems that worked in the past, but maybe, just maybe, they're holding us back now.
It's tough to swallow, right? This idea that things might be in decline, like nobody wants to hear that. We like to think we're at the top of our game, most advanced, you know, all that.
Of course, it's way easier to believe in progress, right? Mm. That things are always getting better. But that kind of thinking can be dangerous.
Dangerous how so?
Well, Smith draws this honestly chilling comparison to the fall of the Roman Empire.
Okay, yeah, I've heard him talk about this.
He quotes this historian, Michael Grant. It's a line that always sticks with me. He says, "There was no room at all in these ways of thinking for the novel apocalyptic situation which had now arisen, a situation which needed solutions as radical as itself."
Wow, okay, so break that down. What's that actually saying?
It's like, the Roman elite, they were so used to their power, so surrounded by the trappings of their success, they were completely blindsided. They couldn't, or maybe just wouldn't, see that their world was crumbling. They were living in the past, totally unprepared for the future that was already here.
And that's, you think that's us? We're the Romans in this scenario.
It's an uncomfortable question, but yeah, I think we have to ask it. Are we so accustomed to thinking of ourselves as the good guys, the ones who got it right, that we can't even fathom the possibility of failure, of decline?
And if we can't even imagine it, how in the world can we prepare for it, let alone prevent it?
Exactly. And that's the real heart of Smith's argument about 2024. It's not that what happens this year doesn't matter. The elections, the economy, all of it, it matters. But what he's saying is that we might be missing the bigger picture.
Because we're too busy rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Exactly. Yeah. We're so focused on winning the next election, propping up the stock market, whatever it is, that we're ignoring the iceberg, right? We're failing to address the root problems. And to be honest, waiting for someone else to fix it, whether it's a new president, some amazing new tech, even AI, that's just kicking the can down the road.
So what's the answer? If we're all just clinging to our slice of the pie, terrified of change, how do we even begin to have these tough conversations, let alone make real lasting change?
It's daunting, no doubt. But it has to start somewhere. I think about that Carl Sagan quote. He said, "We are a way for the cosmos to know itself." We have this incredible gift, this capacity for self-awareness, for understanding our place in the grand scheme of things.
That's a powerful thought.
It is. And the Ming Dynasty, the Roman Empire, they didn't have that. Not really. But we do. We have the benefit of hindsight. We can learn from their mistakes. We can see the patterns. And that means we have a choice. The future isn't predetermined. It's not set in stone. It's something we build together with every decision we make every single day.
That's a powerful thought to end on. The future is not something to be predicted. It's something to be built. Thanks for diving deep with us today. And to everyone listening, we'll leave you with that thought-provoking idea to ponder. Until next time, keep asking the big questions.